Hello.
Ben, it's Alvo.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. How are you doing?
I'm very good, thank you.
Awesome. I was hoping we could talk for a second about your new trick catch.
Yeah, that sounds great. Let's do it.
That's awesome. So this just came out. I saw it, and I couldn't believe my eyes. Can you tell me a bit about it?
Yeah, totally. I mean, the concept of throwing a deck of cards into the air and catching a selection has been around for a long time, and I've always loved the trick. But there's some problems with it in my mind to make it really, really clean and really, really fooling. So what I wanted to do is two things. One, take the selected card out of it and fan the deck to someone so that they just look at the deck and see a card, and whatever card they see, you catch. And then, of course, the other thing is that I wanted to have a method where I could show my hand completely empty before I threw the deck into the air and caught the cards, that there wasn't, you know, a card hidden in palm or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I figured if I added those two elements, it would be really, really fooling. And after many months of work, here it is.
Yeah, it looks incredible. How many times have you performed this for an audience?
Oh, gosh. Let's see. I don't know. Probably about 100 now. Using the different methods. There's actually there's five methods on the DVD. One, the catch method, which is sort of the original, my dream method. I've done that quite a few times, but every other method on there I've also performed. There's three sort of classic handlings, and then there's another method for when you're wearing clothing that's not exactly performance clothing. So it's sort of looks a little bit more impromptu.
Mm-hmm. And what's great is like when you say 100, like for an audience, it's not just you're performing at a bus stop. Like you've been on tour recently, and you've been doing it for like large rooms of people on stage, right?
Yeah, this is one of those tricks that I make my living with. I do two things: I do close up magic and I do stand up comedy magic. And this is certainly a feature in my stand up show. I've done it on stage numerous times in front of. It's been now probably thousands and thousands of people who have seen me do this, and I really love the trick. I get a lot of mileage out of it.
Yeah, it fits really well with your high energy performance style.
Oh, thank you. I mean, I loved the card sword. You know, where you throw a deck of cards into the air and you stabbed one with the sword. That's sort of what this is based off of.
But who has a sword, right?
Exactly. Who carries a sword? You know, when it's the apocalypse and the dragons are here, which the dragons will be coming, it makes sense to carry around a rapier to protect yourself. But until that happens, having a sword in a magic show is kind of, well, I don't know, a little weird in my mind.
Now, I think that the best place to perform this would probably be in like a stand-up environment, right? Like in front of a small group or a crowd, like in a comedy club or something like that. Would you say that that's your favorite place to do it?
Yeah, I mean, I've done this in numerous comedy clubs. I've done this for as few as 15 people and as many as 1,000, I would say, is the biggest group I've ever performed this for. I do it as a part of my stage, my stand-up comedy magic show. But also, one really cool way to use this is, let's say you're hired to do, you know, close-up magic, or you're doing small walk-around things for people. One great thing that you can sell to your client is, yeah, I do this great close-up magic, but at the end I will do one big effect for everyone so that everyone can see it. And I've used this in that environment after doing close-up, and the cool thing about that is that it doesn't seem out of place. Like suddenly you're, you know, now that you're performing for everyone, suddenly you have a zigzag or you're doing something really out of place.
It's fantastic.
You've been doing card tricks the whole night. Yeah, now you do a great card trick that everyone can see. So I've used it to close out the night in a walk-around gig.
It plays so big, and it plays like a stunt. It plays like you were hanging from a crane escaping from a straitjacket, but like the equivalent of that with a deck of cards. And you can really build it like you're gathering a crowd. You're saying, you know, this is going to be intense. I want to show you this crazy skill I've been working on, and it just fits so well. I love it.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, in my mind, it, at least for me, is the ultimate pack small, play big card trick, because in your audience's mind, all you do is you have a deck of cards and you completely fill the stage. It's just, it gets everyone's attention, and it's super strong. People walk away thinking, not like, oh, that was a great magic trick. People come up to me after shows and say, I have no idea how you managed to catch the card I was thinking of out of the air. How did you do that? And they don't think like, oh, there's, you know, there's something magical going on. They genuinely think that I did what it looks like I'm doing, which is great.
Totally. It has like this element of believability. If we were living in some sort of He-Man Masters of the Universe world, you almost believe that it could be possible. Sure, yeah. But then I guess you'd want to use a sword, what with all the dragons. And so now let me ask you this. What – like I haven't actually performed it. What would you say for me – How much skill do I need to have with the deck of cards to perform catch?
I would say, although that it's medium skill level, and actually it's really easy. The trick itself is quite easy, but I say medium just because it's not the type of thing that you could buy and then do that afternoon. There are certainly methods that if you have a little bit of skill with cards and you're familiar with handling them and you know how to palm a card that you can do that day after buying the DVD. But of course that's not recommended. You know, you want to spend some time practicing this. And that's the other cool thing about this is because there are five different methods, there's something there for everyone. If your skill level is really basic, there's a method that you're going to love. If your skill level is a little more advanced, there's other things for you there on the DVD as well.
Oh, that's really great how you tiered it like that. That's awesome.
I tried to take the classic effect of catching a card out of the air and try to do it like a comprehensive look at it and you know, have methods that can be done with a sign card, have methods that can be done surrounded, you know, ones for stage, ones for close up, and I tried to put it all in there and I think I've been pretty successful at doing that. I'm very happy with it.
Oh yeah, it looks just great. So you know, I know this is gonna do really well. I wanna ask you some more questions if you have a sec. You just did, and I'm not sure, is it over? But you were working on Mind Freak last time we talked with Chris Angel.
Yeah, that was a while ago. I'm no longer working on the show, but I was a magic consultant for the Mind Freak TV show.
How was that?
It was quite the experience. I had a blast doing it, and I learned so much. I would never, if I could go back in time, I wouldn't take it back. I had so many interesting experiences and learned so much about magic and about TV and about what I think magic is. And it was a really great way to learn when it comes down to it. I feel like I learned a lot.
That's awesome. Nothing better than just putting it on the line to find out where you stand in your own beliefs, right?
Totally. And I got to work with some amazing people. Like,
oh, definitely.
When I first got the phone call, I was thinking to myself, I'm like, wait a second. Okay, so let's see. I could hang out with Banachek and – okay, yep, I'll do it. Sounds good.
Now, can I ask, what is the biggest thing you took away from that experience?
I stole the Luxor light levitation. I'd have to say the biggest thing I took away from the experience was a new appreciation and an understanding for the creation of magic, and the feeling that I could do anything. Because sometimes we would have a meeting with Chris, and Chris would say, okay, here's what I want to do, and you have this much time to figure out how to do it. And before, I would have thought to myself, well, that sounds impossible. But I really do feel like we made the impossible happen. We took effects that really shouldn't have been able to be created and made them happen in a short amount of time under really high stress conditions. But in the end, we made them happen, and it was pretty cool. And now I kind of feel like I look at magic differently, because instead of thinking like, okay, here are my skill sets, here are the moves I know, now what could I do with them? Instead of looking at that way, now I think, all right, anything is possible. I want to make that table over there split itself in half, levitate into the air, and then restore itself in midair. And I think, okay, now how can I make that happen?
That's a huge transition. That's amazing. That's great.
It is, and it feels great to be able to try to think of the effect first and then how it's done, as opposed to the opposite.
And with that many brilliant minds in a room, it's kind of mind-blowing what can come out of it.
Yeah, I had a great time doing it.
Now, you just also finished up a lecture tour, right? And you were out there with Luke Germain on tour across the whole country. How did that go?
Oh, that was a blast. We actually, the reason that tour came out of is that Luke and I are two of a three-person show called The Optical Delusions. It's me, Luke Germain, and a juggler named Marcus Monroe, who's absolutely fantastic, one of the most natural performers I've ever seen. Uh-huh. And the three of us do this show together, and we were going on tour, and Luke and I had to get across the country with my car to meet up with Marcus. So we started doing the lecture tour just sort of as a way to go and have fun along the way.
Oh, that's really funny. So you got from Vegas to New York?
Yeah, we went all the way to Baltimore. We almost got to New York, but then we had to double back to the Midwest to get the OD show going.
That's wild, man. How many weeks or months did that show did that tour take?
We were out there for a month and a half, and I drove a total of 7,000 miles.
Jeez.
Yeah, tell me about it. I wish I could. I wish Luke drove in America. It would have been so much easier. But we had lots of adventures.
That's hilarious. What was your favorite stop along the way?
Oh my God. I would have to say Sterling, Colorado, but we do not have the time to talk about that right now. That's
Well, let me ask you a simpler question then. What was your favorite meal you had along the way?
My favorite meal?
Yeah.
All right. Well, when we drove through Texas, we stopped in a small town and we went to an Applebee's, and I wasn't really hungry, so I just got like a soup and a salad, and Luke ordered a steak, and the waitress, who was completely out of her mind, misunderstood and brought him two steaks, like two full steak dinners. And so it looked to her like he had ordered two big meals and I had ordered two sides. And so we switched, and, you know, I had one of the steaks. It was just very confusing. And then we asked her where the cool places to hang out in town were, and she was like, well, there's a lot of kids that hang out at Walmart. And we were like, okay, check, please. Let's get out of here.
Was that an incredible steak?
It was, I would say, mediocre at best.
Okay.
Yeah. It was a good story, though.
It was a very good story. I have not heard such a random order coming to a table after such a relatively simple sounding order. That's weird.
I think Luke tells it better, because she came back and she said to him, "What would you like on your steaks?" And he didn't hear the F. Neither did I. And he was like, I don't know. So we had the chance to stop it and correct the order, but neither of us noticed.
I'll see if I can get him on the phone to tell the story in a second.
He'll do a good job. I promise you.
So what's coming up for you?
Lots of very exciting things that some of them I can't talk about yet because they're not solidified yet. But I'm back in Vegas now after being on the road quite a bit.
Oh, no, you're performing now at the Mandalay, aren't you?
I am. I'm the resident magician at the Mandalay Bay.
Oh, that is
really,
sweet.
Really fun. Yeah, I'm doing. I do close up in a couple of the lounges on usually once a week, but I'm also there on request. So.
Oh, cool! If somebody were randomly to go to the Mandalay, what's a good time to catch you there?
The best time to catch me there is on Saturday nights between 9 and midnight at iCandy Sound Lounge, and also at Mix, the club on top of the hotel.
Oh, wow! Cool. Okay, and then iCandy is sort of the center bar there now, right?
It is. And you don't have to pay. There's no admission to go in. And the cool thing about iCandy is that most of the clubs in Vegas, you have to pay to sit down. Like, you have to buy a bottle, which is very expensive to sit down. At iCandy, anyone can come in and sit wherever they want.
You know, that's actually a really huge selling point for anyone that doesn't go to Vegas regularly. That's really annoying to have to sort of extort $800 out of you to have a chair. Usually people take it for granted when they're at, say, Applebee's.
Exactly.
Well, cool.
Yeah, come and check it out if you'd like.
That is awesome. Yeah, I will definitely want to come check you out. Ben, thank you so much. Catch is amazing. Thanks for putting this out, man. I saw you doing it before, and I'm glad that it's out. Everybody check out Catch. And thanks again. We'll talk to you soon.
For sure, man. Take care.